Welcome to the Keystone Church Podcast. Keystone Church is located in Keller, Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Now, let's prepare our hearts for this week's message.
I spent about a week fishing in Tennessee with my family, trout fishing, and it was just amazing. It was a great trip. And one of the things we do is we talk and we reflect on different memories, and my brother Heath was sharing a story. It's kind of one of those lifelong stories about him. And it was actually kind of a scary story in his life. He was in college, and he and his roommate went to Colorado. His roommate's uncle had a house, kind of house/cabin in Colorado, and they would stay there, and then they would go skiing. And so it was this stay at this free spot and then go ski, and just kind of a college thing to do. And it was snowing like crazy. A blizzard had come through. And as the blizzard just plowed its way through that part of Colorado where they were staying, all the power was knocked out. And so they're in this kind of drafty, kind of cabin-y house and no power. And so they were able to get a hold of the uncle. And the uncle said, hey, just get the fireplace going. Sleep right by the fireplace and just stay warm until tomorrow, and then we'll figure it out. So that night, they set up a fire in the fireplace, and they all kind of got huddled up close to that fireplace, and it was burning hot, and they were actually warm, and everything's good. Until one of them woke up, and it felt like that smoke, as they looked around, things were hazy. Heath said it was like the fire in the fireplace. It was like looking through a tea glass. It was just real hazy. And then he said, man, maybe something's going on with the backdraft. Maybe snow is backdraft. I don't know. Wind, I don't know. And so they start opening windows. And then one of the students, the college students, looked out and said, hey, man, there's fire out here. There's smoke out here, too. And what had happened is, basically, as they turned around and they looked, the back of the house was completely on fire. And they basically were able to get out. The fire, firemen came, and they were able to work on the house. They said, you guys are so, God must be smiling on you, because whenever you inhale that much smoke when you're sleeping, often people don't wake up. And it was one of those life stories. And when Susan and I were thinking about the topic today in this series, how to grow your family tree, this is a story that really came to my mind. Because, you know, a fireplace is something that's to provide warmth. It the right kind of fireplace, you could even cook on a fireplace. That's kind of old school. Maybe we'll bring old school back. Kind of cool. But a fire has a purpose, beauty, warmth. But a fire, when it's outside of its purpose, causes massive destruction. And today, what we're going to discover is that a fire can either help or it can hurt. And there is a powerful thing called communication. And communication can grow your family tree, or wrong or bad or no communication can burn your family tree down. That's what it says in James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. It's grow or burn. Grow or burn. It's the difference between a close family and a distant family. It's the difference between close and cold. It's the difference between connected and distance. Here's the truth that we're going to discover today is that God created us to communicate. Like, we're made to communicate. We're made in his image, and look at Genesis 1, verse 1 and 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light.
As we were reading that verse, I just want to comment, because it really struck me. Genesis 1, you think, what does that have to do with communication? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is the very first verse of our entire Bible. But I believe it's the template through which we have to look at everything, because here's the first question for today, I believe. Do you even believe that verse? Do you believe God created? Do you believe God? Do you believe that that God created? Did he create you? We're about to read, if you read Genesis chapter 1 and you see all that he created, I mean, it's down to man, woman, male, female, the design for marriage, and even the design for communication that we're about to read and unpack today. Today's a very practical message, very helpful for our families, helpful for us, honestly, in any area of life, but nowhere is it more needed than in our family relationships. But before we get to practical tips and we fall into some kind of moralistic teaching, which this is not, you and I have to understand it starts with faith. Do I even believe that there is a God and he created me and he knows how I tick, he knows how I work best, and when I believe that, I can trust his plan, I can trust his design.
Words are powerful. This is one of the big things I see here in Genesis 1, and so often we go back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It's just so foundational to life. You go back and you see, what does it say? That God said, let there be light. And then in Genesis 1, 26, God said, let us make human beings in our image. When you see God speaking, God is creating. And what God is teaching us is words have power. Words have power, and we know that words have power. Words are so powerful that we gather like this to hear words. Words are so powerful that when people run for office, we listen to debates. Words are so powerful that we tune in to the talking heads and listen to what their take is on the news as they bring it to us. Words are very, very powerful. And no words are more powerful than God speaking everything into existence. And with all the power of that word, God is not just speaking and creating, God is communicating. He's communicating. And what does it say there? Let us. So God is speaking in himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. There's communication happening within the Godhead. But then as you read, you begin to see how God communicates with Adam and Eve. There's a conversation. So God, first out of the first chapter in the book of the Bible. We're talking Genesis, first book of the Bible. We see God clearly setting a foundation. Communication is power, and communication is my design. So if you're a family that doesn't believe in communication, if you're a family that does not embrace communication, if your family tree that you live in, you've nurtured this environment where you are cold, you don't talk, you don't connect, you don't communicate, this is going to be a helpful day. It may be a hurtful day, but I think it could be a helpful day. I have a pastor friend, he calls moments like this brutiful. It's beautiful, but it's brutal. It's brutiful. And truly today could be one of the days you look at and you say, this was absolutely foundational to changing our family tree and our family story.
Absolutely. And if we look back, words are powerful. How can we say that? Let's look again, Proverbs 18:21. God says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Have you ever thought about your words having that kind of power? Again, because we're made in the image of God. And if God's words, he said, with the word I create. Well, you and I, because we're in his image, he's given that kind of power to our words. What are the words coming out of your mouth? When you think about communication, there's really two goals when it comes to communication that we're going to talk about. One goal is accuracy. When we communicate with one another, that is the exchange of information. It is very helpful, is it not, when we exchange accurately and when we hear accurately. How many times have we been in a conversation where you're not hearing me or you're not speaking clearly? Accuracy is so important in communication. But a second goal, equally important, is connection. Connection with one another. And we're going to look at how God intends that for you and for me, because that connection brings closeness, and closeness is part of God's design. Again, if you go back, and we do so often at Keystone, don't we? Go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, because it explains the foundation of what we're all experiencing every single day. Well, if you go back and you see God creating, he says, it is good, it is good, it is good. And then all of a sudden in Genesis 2:18, it's as if the car comes to a screeching halt. And he says this, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. At that point, sin had not even entered into the scene. There was no sin. There was no distance from man and God. Yet God looked down and said, I'm creating, but I'm not done yet. And I want you to understand, it's not good for you to be alone. Adam was with God at that point. But God said, I also have a plan for you to be with others. And that starts with what God created was his wife, Eve. And out of that relationship came every relationship that we experience today. Children, family, friends, colleagues. And if you want to talk about how to grow your family tree, you need to understand God's design for you and your family was never for you to be alone. It's not good, but we have to fight against it. Why? Because Genesis 3 happened. Genesis 3 happened, and if you read it, what happened is that in that moment, mankind rejected God. And when we rejected God, like we still do today, saying, wait a second, I know what you said, God, but I think I know better. I'm gonna follow my own way, and sin crashed into creation, breaking our mouth and our communication with it, twisting our words, twisting our thoughts, breaking our communication and our connection and our accuracy with one another. And from that moment, you and I experience broken communication to this day. And I want to just expose and help us. And as we do this, as we look at some broken patterns that sometimes show up in our families and our marriages, maybe with our parenting, with our kids, extended family, ask yourself, actually even better, ask God. God, will you reveal what in my life or in our family has become a pattern that is leading us away from the connection that you created us to have? So here's a few of those, some patterns that we see in marriages and in families. One is just a refusal to express ourselves, a refusal to communicate. What does this look like? It can look like it's detached, not being present, not being willing to open up our mouths and connect. It can be one word answers or no answer at all. Another, I believe, pattern and trap of broken communication, it leads us away from intimacy. I believe that looks like surface talking only. Now, hey, there's a space to just talk about the surface issues of life. That's part of communication. But if all we talk about is the weather, if all we discuss are the bills, if all we talk about are the to-do lists, then at some point we are missing a depth in knowing one another. Take the time. Have the interest to explore her dreams. Take the time. Have the interest to hear about the fear that they're expressing. Don't just miss a passing comment. You know, so many times I think in our marriages and in our families, passing comments go ignored. Those passing comments often are an invitation for a follow-up. Hey, tell me what you mean by that. Tell me what's going on there. I want to hear what's in your heart, what's going on in your mind. Another pattern that we have to watch out for, particularly in marriage, is just coexisting roommates, where we're just coexisting and our communication with one another is passionless. We want to have passion, fire in the right way, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, developing that oneness. Another one, this is big. Please hear this one for all of us. Selfish communication. Selfish communication. That can look like a one-way conversation where I'm at the center, where I am doing most of the talking. You know, we all have to work on this, and it depends often on personality, but here's what I would say, that whether you're introverted, whether you're extroverted, either way, it can be selfish. If you're just gonna sit back and not speak and make the other person do all the effort, that's selfish communication. If you're gonna do all the talking and you're not gonna give those questions and hear what's going on in their life and you're the one that's speaking the whole time, that's selfish communication. Communication that's selfless is being willing to be vulnerable and open up about me, but also seeing you and truly caring about you and leaning in and wanting to know what's going on with you. And the last one to just bring up, another pattern, I'm sure there's a million more, but be very careful that in your home, in your marriage, that your pattern of communication is not critical communication, where our communication orbs around the critique, where much of our time spent together in conversation is about where you're missing the mark. We've got to watch out. There is a place for us to sharpen one another and to coach up our families and to help our husbands and for our husbands to lead our wives. There's a space for that. But if your conversation is marked by critique, we're in a troubled spot. So as we look at how and we begin to unpack, God is so good to give us a design. Our creator, he is a creator. That means he also has a design, being the great architect that he is. As we look at that, understand, be willing to examine your family tree. What does your past look like? Because some of us didn't learn how. And truly, communication God's way is a learned skill. None of us come out knowing how to do it. So today, let's sharpen what we already know. If you're in the room and that's a strength in your life, let God sharpen you today, remind you, make it fresh. For others of us, we're going to hear some brand new things. Let's have the courage and ask God to help us walk it out and be able to do it.
So a place in scripture that is communication gold. I want you to write this down. James 1:19. I want you to write this down because we're going to unlock James 1:19 here for the next few minutes. James 1:19, the Bible says, and again, this is a zip code for awesome communication, learning God's design. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I've often called this is the Texas two-step of communication, okay? So it's quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Come on.
There you go. You'll remember that. That's good. That's so good.
You like that. She wants me to dance with her
I
more.
I do. Can we go dance?
She wants me to like spin her around and stuff, and I'm the guy that like throws her, and then she, you know. I'm not good. Quick, slow, slow. All right, so first, be quick to listen. This is so insanely practical. Be quick to listen, all right? Listen is more than hearing. Listening is receiving what is being sent. Active listening. Active listening is turning on your mind. Active listening is engaging the other person. So be quick to listen. So what does that look like? Active listening requires effort. If you want to be quick to listen, active listening, it's going to require effort. All right, this is not something, I love what you just said, this is a learned behavior. Our default setting is not to be great listeners. Our default setting is to be really poor listeners. And so we've got to put in some effort. You have to be active, not passive. Number two is active listening is self-control. Self-control. Self-control is basically saying, I refuse for this all to be about me. And that, again, is a natural default. Have you ever tried to have a significant conversation and the person always turns it back to themselves? And you just, eventually, you stop turning to that person because they're not, it's not a two-way thing. It's like ping pong. You know, you've just got to go back and forth. A good conversation is back and forth. I'll set up the serve, or maybe I should say pickleball. You set up the serve, you set it back, I set it back, you set it back, and it's just one back and forth, back and forth. You've got to have self-control that it's not just you. Also, self-control, keeping yourself from wandering thoughts. Okay, hello. Okay, this was me. Honestly, something can be happening. The person is here. Something can be happening right over there. We're in a restaurant, and we're talking. In the booth right behind her, some serious stuff is going down. Okay, some major drama, breakup, just found out cheating. I don't know. Crazy stuff is going on over there. And I'm attracted to the soap opera behind her.
I tend to not notice. I'm not very aware. And he sees everything in full 3D.
Yeah, I see it all. I'll see what's happening over there. And it's just crazy. So it takes self-control to zoom in and just really just tell yourself. One of the things that I do is I try to position my back to the television when I'm on a date night with Susan. Because if we're at like Moxie's or something like that, and we go to Moxie's and there's all these TVs everywhere, you know, I don't want to, you know, okay.
Know yourself is the bottom
line. Know thyself.
Know yourself. Self-control.
It's game on is what we're saying. Okay. And then patience. Patience. Patience for me is working a plan of communication. So communication requires patience, and active listening requires patience, where you're literally saying, I'm going to refuse. Like, not just I'm going to make it about us. I'm going to really patiently listen. I'm going to double back. I'm going to effort to understand. I'm going to ask clarifying questions. That's patience. And then finally, love. Active listening is an act of love. Quick to listen, you're saying, I recognize your value. I recognize your contribution. I recognize your intelligence. And I want to hear what you have to say. It's an act of love toward the other person.
And it is a skill. We're going to look at that skill, get really practical about how to. And when you talk about it being an effort, that's why it's not just listening, it's not just hearing, it is active. You are engaged. And so it's a skill. Let's talk about that. It's a skill of intentional and attentive silence at times. And we're going to spend a little bit more time on listening. Why? Because God said, be quick to listen. Let's be slow on the other. Be quick to listen. So attentively leaning in, being intentional in that moment that I want to hear you. That means be aware of your body language. Our body language immediately communicates if we're interested or not. All right? Put away your phones. Put the phone down. Maybe in your home, it's not allowed at the dinner table to cultivate that conversation. I don't know what that looks like for you, but we have to plan for this, guys. This is not going to naturally happen. We want to look our loved one in the eye and hear what they're trying to say. It's an active process, and it's reflective. So as you're being intentional and as you're leaning in, it's reflective. You're like, what does that mean? What does reflective listening mean? In our early stages of dating, really, it was early in our engagement. We did premarital counseling, and we're going to unpack this a little bit more when we talk about how to speak. But what we learned is that often we'll just state something, I'll say something, and then the other person just responds. That's very normal, but it can be a hindrance to connection. An even better way to communicate with our loved ones is before we respond, let's reflect what we heard. So in other words, I'm going to state something, and then if I am listening to that person, I'm going to try to restate what they said. So what I heard you just say was, wow, so when that happened, this is what you felt. You're saying this is what you felt, and you give them a chance to expound. That is creating connection. Some of us, we value accuracy, but we don't value connection. Hear that? Some of us in this room, it's all about the facts. Just give me the facts. And believe me, I'm a fact girl. I appreciate truth. But there is a space that is about connection, and it requires patience, particularly if you're most inclined to facts. That's why it requires that patient listening. Active listening efforts to understand. I want to understand you, not just prove you right or wrong. I want to understand you. Proverbs 18:2, God's so good. He says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Wow, is the Bible not so honest? I don't want to be a fool in our marriage. I don't want to be a fool in our family. God, help us to be people who are wise and seek to understand. Another skill when it comes to active listening is the skill of thoughtful questions. Asking that person questions. There's been times when we will be going on a date or going on a double date, and we will come up with, hey, what are some questions we can ask when we're with this couple or this family? Or even if our own family's around the table, taking a moment and leading the two of us saying, hey, let's foster communication at the table. Let's ask questions.
Or sometimes you'll even say to me, because I can just miss it. She'll say to me, hey, you want to hear this? You know, and I just think the kids are just kind of talking, and she's like, hey, you want to hear this? And it's like, okay, woo, I need to engage. They're sharing their heart. There's something deeper going on here. She has some background information, and it helps.
And we help each other. That's the beautiful thing in marriage, is that you're doing that with one another, but you're doing that with your family. And so Proverbs 20, verse 5 gives us the value as to why this is even important. Ready? The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. In other words, the purposes, the things inside of your heart, it's deep waters. But a man of understanding will draw it out. How? By leaning in, by caring, by asking those intentional questions. Active listening helps us know what to do next. So after we've done these things, we've leaned in, we've sought to understand often what's required next. This is important. And any fixers in the room, like you're a fixer, and it's okay. You're a fixer. I've got problem solving. You're all over. I get it, right? We have that gift of wanting to help problem solve. Well, sometimes in communication, we don't need to lead with our solutions. We just need to be present. When we are present, it removes that aloneness that has been fighting to have us and overcome us since Genesis 3. Being present is always the first best response, but it shows us how to respond. Be present. Romans 12:15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Be present, engage. We got to grow in our emotional IQ. And then beyond that, there is cause and opportunity for other responses. Maybe it's to support them, to encourage them, speak God's truth and promises over them. Maybe it is to give wise counsel. The Lord may reveal, hey, this is an opportunity. And maybe it's a time to do some problem solving. And often in our families, and we'll get to this, it's an opportunity to resolve a conflict because conflict happens in our families.
So be quick to listen. And then it goes on to say, slow to speak. So interesting thing, we have twice as many. Come on, 9 o'clock, are you with me? We have twice as many, thank you. It's a duck. We have twice as many ears as we have mouths. And we're to listen at least twice as much as we are to speak. But there is a point where we speak, okay? Communication is first listening. I think that's a revelation, but we do speak. And so there is, I love it, if you're gonna be quick to listen, you have the ministry of presence, like Susan was mentioning. You're listening, you're being there. You're not just quick to respond always. But are you also the friend who will never respond? You're just there. And I'm just supporting you with my smile. But there is a time in good communication to say, hey, I'd love to gently push back. That's one of my little phrases. I'd love to gently just offer a different perspective. Hey, with love in my heart, I would love to just. And see, you thought through that. And maybe you don't do that just like that. Here's the anatomy, and we mentioned it a moment ago. You state, okay, someone speaks, okay, they speak, then you restate what you heard them say. You were slow to listen, you were quick to listen, slow. You're slowing down the momentum of a conversation. Hey, here's what I hear you saying. Now, this isn't like, hey, could you hand me the blow dryer? Now, what I hear you saying is, you want me. Come on. But if we're in some waters here, restate what you heard them saying, especially if you feel a little something bubbling up where you just want to respond out of familiarity or respond out of a pattern in your marriage or respond out of something that you believe deeply about your child. Let them speak and then restate what you heard them say. Just that restatement is slowing down your speech. It's a slowdown mechanism. So, and you could say it this way, what I heard you say is, or you could even, once you get on the double black diamonds of communication, you don't always have to say, what I hear you say is, you can just kind of off ramp and just say, okay, so what you mean is, or what you're saying is, or you just kind of get a little more natural with it where it doesn't feel like that they're going through a process like that. And then you respond. Okay, so the statement's made, you restate, and then you respond to that statement. Just slowing down the momentum slows down the possibility for bad things to happen.
It's so good. And when you do that restate moment, you pause and let them have a chance to say, yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Or no, let me rephrase that. Let's try again. And this requires patience. But please, church, hear, your family and your marriage and your relationship with your kids is worth it. It's worth the effort.
And something you've taught me, something you've taught me because of your counseling practice. You just said it, and you just blew right by it. But pause and wait for them to respond. That's slowing down. That's being quick to listen. You've taught me this. And sometimes I'll be ready to fill in the space with a child that we're having to discipline or having a really hard moment with, and she'll just put her hand on my leg, and I know that's the marriage sign.
Helpmate. I'm a helpmate.
You just let them be cool with the awkward silence, and it's amazing. when you're cool with the awkward silence, sometimes, I mean, you're just like literally just waiting on them. And then in the silence, sometimes they're working on it. And then something comes out. Just don't be afraid of that little...
Yeah, that awkward silence. Because it's awkward for all of us. And you speak about counseling. I remember early in my counseling years when I was in school and we would have practicum moments where I would have to counsel for the very first time. And they would grade me on if I just jumped in or if I did the awkward pause. And I remember sitting there. It was very... I'm that person that wants to jump in and have conversation and feel connected. And sometimes I can think if I'm talking, then we're connected. Well, I had to relearn. And I remember sitting in those moments and I felt that awkward silence. And I would just in my mind go, 1,001, 1,002, 1,000. And I would stop myself from speaking. And you know what? Sure enough, if I would just let the moment breathe, that person was processing their feelings and thoughts, and then they would be able to share something treasured from their heart. So it's worth it to take that time. So how do we deep dive? How do we not just have surface relationships in how we connect with one another? Here's a couple of things to consider. Share, create a culture where you share your dreams, share your desires, honor and respect one another as we share the places where we're hurt or where we have fear. Talk about those things. Avoid one answer responses, one word responses. Could we just say overall, avoid those one word responses. Ask questions like we talked about. And in your home, decide feelings matter. Feelings are not in charge of us. Feelings don't get to rule us and direct our path, but feelings matter. Acknowledge them when one of us is expressing a feeling. And be a family. There is no more powerful way that we can use our words than this. Be a family that prays together. Pray with one another. Lead that culture in your home. Lead that culture in your marriage. We've got to fight, understand, fight for a creative way to have this culture in our family, a culture of communication. In our home, you know, we're always training our kids. And when our kids are younger, there's so many things that we're having to train them on. Anybody love the potty training stage? It was your favorite. I have seriously had PTSD in multiple spaces of my life. Two particular children just about did me in. With that said, we don't give up. We push through. We're going to do it. But I would say, the effort that we spend in some of our training in the home, we need to put the same effort in training communication. In our house, we by no means are a perfect family. We have so many flawed areas where God steps in and helps us and heals us. But one of the things that we, at the beginning, and I'd really attribute this to you, you were just so unusual when you and I met, just your desire to connect with through communication, and it drew me to you. But together, we committed that communication in our house is not optional. We're training these children. So if you're sitting at the dinner table and you give a one-word opportunity, you know, one-word answer, we don't just pass over that like, oh, they're little, oh, they're... No, we're going to stop down and we're going to train you. And if you get belligerent, you're going to get grounded. But it's a training. Why? Because we have high value on it. We want to teach you how. We would role play at the dinner table. Somebody had a rough day at school, and so we would all take turns. We would role play on, hey, what are some ways that you could communicate through that situation? All of those are ideas that help our families value something that God says is so very important. We need it.
Communication gold. So quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Slow to anger. This could be one of the hardest ones. Ephesians 4 says, in your anger, do not sin. And Proverbs 29 says, fools give full vent to their rage. Wise bring calm to the situation. Okay? So there is righteous anger and there's unrighteous anger. Righteous anger ultimately is God's anger. You read the Bible says, you can see the anger of God throughout Scripture. God gets angry. But God is always good and angry. Our anger is rarely good and angry. It's kind of a rare thing for us to have good, righteous anger because sin is so easily mixed in with our anger. Slow to anger is really what I believe James is instructing us with. Is go really, really slow in your anger to make sure that if you have anger, and it's not saying don't ever have anger. When you have anger, make sure that it's right. Make sure that it's accurate. How do you know if you have accurate anger? If you do not first listen, and if you are not slow to speak. You see, it's a mechanism to actually help your anger be accurate, that it would be righteous human anger. We should have righteous human anger over all forms of abuse. We should have righteous human anger over injustice. There is a place for righteous, right human anger, and the only way we get there is being very, very slow to anger. Matthew 5, 9, the Bible says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. The object of our anger, 9 times out of 10, is other people. So what I think would be awesome is if we would take a second and just talk about how we can use this quick, slow, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger in conflict. There's 3 different kinds of conflict. 3 different kinds of conflict. First is a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding, it's what I thought happened did not happen. And this happens all the time in a conflict. When you apply quick, slow, you're quick to listen, slow to speak, you can untangle a lot of misunderstandings before the emotion, slow to anger, ever engages. Okay, this is huge. A lot of the arguments are stupid arguments. A lot of the things that we spend half the day mad about are misunderstandings. And we have misjudged what was a misunderstanding. Second type of conflict is a disagreement. We have or express different opinions, desires, or preferences. Okay? Again, quick, slow helps us evaluate. Okay, so here's where we really are on different pages. You may think you're on the same page. And this conflict is rubbing up against you. You don't know why you're fighting. And only when you're quick to listen and slow to speak do you begin to identify, oh, you're there and I'm here. That's why we're having a conflict. And then the third is a true offense. A true offense. A true offense is not just, hey, we're on different pages of a conversation. A true offense is, I have sinned against you and that has made you angry. I have sinned against you. And through conversation, it becomes clear, no, what we have here is you have sinned against me. I've sinned against my spouse or my spouse has sinned against me. And God gives us a path toward peace in all of these conflicts. Not only quick, slow, but 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness.
Again, God's so good. He gives us a pathway back. He could have left us in our sin, just destroyed in our families and relationships and apart from him, separated from him, but he didn't. 1 John 1:9, I believe it's a template. First, it's about your relationship, my relationship with God. And God says, hey, if you will confess your sins, God says, then let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to clean up your mess. I'm going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is a beautiful gift of faith. When we have faith in God through what Jesus did on the cross, this is his gift to us. So again, we ask the question, do you know Jesus today? Because all these practical tips are worth very little without the power of Almighty God in your life. You can work hard, you can become a great communicator, and what will happen is that in our brokenness, we'll use it to manipulate, we'll use it to meet our own ends, and we will miss the power that comes through God. He helps us. And so he gives us that truth in our relationship with him, but he also made us in his image. And so this is a great template for how we deal with one another. When one of us sins against the other, or maybe both of us sin, these 3 things are so important. The first one we see in that scripture is confess it. Confess it. This is perhaps the most challenging thing, or one of the most challenging things for us to do, and that is to admit where I missed it, to speak it. So many of us come from cultures in our homes where there were no apologies. We did not acknowledge that we were sorry. Maybe we would blow up, treat each other awful, and then just try to sweep it under the rug and try to act like it never happened or just be overly sweet and kind, but never address what happened. There is supernatural power when we confess our sins one to another. So identify, how have I sinned? Ask God, how have I sinned in this situation? and ask God to help us understand how we have sinned and then to speak it. That's what confession is, acknowledging it, speaking it. And I want to quickly go through some apology mistakes. If you've heard me share on this, you know that I am passionate about the true apology, because I think fake apologies do so much harm in our lives and our relationships. A couple of mistakes we make when it comes to apologies is we go extreme. Either we're a chronic apologer, where we consistently are saying, I'm sorry for everything, and the apology really carries no weight. Or we never apologize. I'm not gonna say I'm sorry till I am in the grave. I am not speaking it. And it creates this culture that is broken in our home. But other times, often we just give fake apologies. Here's a few quickly. Some fake apologies that we've gotta watch for. I've named them because I like to give names to things. So one, the loophole apology. Oh, I can't take this one. So let's all promise we won't do it, all right? I'm sorry if, I'm sure I didn't. There's no possible way. But if I did, then I'm sorry. It is a loophole. It's a way out rather than owning it. We want to own when we've blown it. Another one is the defensive one. Hey, I'm sorry, but if you hadn't, and we're just all in their business immediately. A defensive one. This one I call the boomerang apology, all right? This is new, so boomerang apology. It is this. I'm sorry that you feel hurt. That is not an apology. It's enraging to the other person. It is not an apology, so yeah, let's take that one away.
I'm sorry that you feel hurt. I would prefer that you didn't feel hurt, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you feel hurt, you pitiful, sad, weak person. But I'm sorry for you, right? The attacking one, I'm sorry. And then we just start attacking them with all their failures.
But if you would just...
Yes, or the incomplete one. This is, you know, sorry. Sorry, right? Or the fake apology, I'm so sorry. Body language, everything's communicating. She does not mean that. The conditional apology. If you would apologize, then I would apologize. These are just a few of the fake apologies we're throwing down. And can we, in Jesus' name, stop? Can we stop? Let's give a true apology. Here's what it looks like. I am sorry for, describe it. The more specific you can describe your offense, the more healing coming to your relationship and the more freedom that God is bringing to your life. I am sorry for, fill in the blank, be specific, and then follow it up with, will you forgive me?
And then just continuing during this matrix of conflict resolution with communication, forgiveness. Forgive. Forgiveness is the release of a debt that is owed. You say, well, I can't forgive them because they haven't come to me and asked me to forgive them. No, no, no. The Bible says forgiveness is not an option. That we release them. I am no longer carrying the debt that you have put on me with your sin. You don't have to keep carrying it because that sinner never came back to you. No, you can say, I release it. Now, where do you release that sin? Where do you release it? Where do you give it? Because if you just drop it, it's amazing, it tends to follow you. That sin, it's like this little dog, and all of a sudden, it's a little bitty dog, and you just step on it, you know? Image in your mind, you got it? What do you do? I stepped on my dog last night. What do you do with that sin? You give it to the bank of God. You just take that debt and you say, I'm giving it over here to God. And God is going to deal with that. Now it's between them and God. God can carry it. He already has. That's now between them and God. I'm not carrying this anymore. I let that go. Then 5 years later, they come back to you and they say, hey, I really need you to forgive me. Hey, I've already forgiven you. I offloaded that a long time ago. Here's the thing, by carrying all of that weight, you're actually hurting yourself. You're actually making yourself more miserable. Forgiveness. And it's not saying, oh, it's okay. Yeah, no. Don't say that. Yeah, it's okay. That's not. No, it wasn't okay. They accurately, truly sinned against you. It wasn't okay. So don't tell them it's okay. Just say, hey, I forgive you. As God has forgiven me for so much, I forgive you.
I love this, Colossians 3. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, and this is what we remember. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. What has he forgiven you for? What has he forgiven you for today? And oh, how we want to forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And the beauty about this verse that struck me is he said, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive. Two different things. What does that mean? That in our relationships with one another, there are times when we make allowance. In other words, I'm not going to be easily offended. I'm not going to take offense at every single thing. You're going to at times sin in your humanity, and I'm going to see your humanity, and I'm going to cover you with grace. And I'm going to make allowance for you. And then there's other times when it hurts deeper, it cuts deeper. And because Christ has forgiven me, in our marriage, I'm going to forgive you. And in our relationship with our kids, I'm going to forgive them. That's the people we want to be in our families, and it's game changer.
Yeah. And then ultimately, no resentment. And then he says, and cleanse us from all wickedness. There must be healing. And that's our heart for us today. Can we just pray together? I just pray that truly some navigation has occurred in your soul regarding communication. You know, if we were to say, hey, we're talking about communication, it can feel like a seminar, but I believe something spiritual has shifted in this room. This isn't just an analytical session. This isn't a TED talk. Father, we're inviting right now the Holy Spirit to come into this room. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to prick our hearts, to move the needle of our souls. Father, I'm praying right now for these trees that are in this room, these family trees, that these trees would experience a new way to live. God, we pray all the time, would you change our family trees? How could they be changed if we neglect good, godly, Holy Spirit empowered communication? So God, would you show us how to do it your way? And God, in doing so, less fights. In doing so, less bitterness. In doing so, short accounts. In doing so, God, connectedness. In doing so, God, intimacy. The feeling of being known. The feeling of knowing someone else. All of this wrapped up in the power of our words and understanding. So God, would this be a house of communication as we leave this place? In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about Keystone Church, please visit us at keystonechurch.com.